Help all kids learn and grow with PBS Kids. Thank you for supporting your PBS station.
Reading Rainbow.
Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book.
Reading Rainbow.
Spots on a giraffe. Spots on a giraffe? That's not how I see it. Anybody can see that's two big eyes and a nose. I don't know what you two are looking at, but I see a close-up of a delicious piece of Swiss cheese.
Swiss cheese?
You've got to be kidding. Giraffe spots do not look like something to eat. Oh, give me a break. It's obviously a face. Plain as the nose on my face, it's a piece
of
cheese.
Wait a second.
Hey, wait a second. Let's take another look at this. The way I see it, it's two balloons playing catch. See? It all depends on how you look at it.
That's
not
my
point of view.
You'd have to be really stretching it to think it's anything but what I see with me.
Wait! Since we don't see eye to eye, let's take a look at another riddle.
Okay.
This one's easy.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, anybody can see that's a closed eyelid. A closed what? From my point of view, it's a somersaulting caterpillar.
No. Look at it this way. It's the entrance to a tunnel.
Huh?
No. Look again. It's the sun passing by a window.
Unbelievable.
How come you guys can't see what's in front of you?
Look at this. Maybe we can see eyeball to eyeball this time. Now, from my point of view, it's really a wild hairdo, kind of a bright red afro.
No way, man. Anybody can see that's the letter C.
No, let me show you. It's a dripping drop of water. Purple water.
Purple water?
No, look at it this way. It's a rolling hot dog.
A red collar. A half-eaten cherry lifesaver.
A worm that's just been tickled. A clown smiling.
A red nose warmer for a purple nose.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Take another look at this. We're all right. It all depends on how you look at it.
The riddles you just saw are from this, the Turnabout, Think About, Look About book. And there are lots more in here. These are riddles for your eyes instead of your ears. And the more you turn the book, the more there is to see. The artist who drew the picture shows four ways of looking at the same thing, but there are probably 4,000, 4 million, as many of you as are watching right now. That's because we all see things in different ways, our own special ways. We also have our own unique ways of hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching. That's why I love coming to the Farmer's Bazaar, where I'm surrounded by all the colors of the rainbow and as many textures and sweet-smelling aromas as there are fruits and vegetables here. Everybody loves to try their own hand at using their senses to discover the juiciest, ripest, and the most delicious of the market's pick. These are some of my best bets for today's tastiest treats. What do you think this is? The burning hot surface of the sun? A sponge? No, it's an orange. And how about this? Green coral? Seeds? Of course not. It's broccoli. And what do you suppose this is? A moon crater? A dried up riverbed? Not at all. It's a potato. Let's try another one. This could be lizard skin or a leaf, but it's not. It's an onion. You've been looking through a very special camera lens that lets you see ordinary things, things you've looked at almost every day of your life, in a brand new way. I'm sure you know lots of people who use special lenses to see all the time. Arthur could really tell you the importance of wearing glasses if you need them. He found out the hard way, and that's what this book, Arthur's Eyes, is all about.
Arthur's Eyes, story and pictures by Mark Brown. This is Arthur before he got glasses. He looked fine, but he couldn't see very well. And sometimes he got headaches. Arthur had to hold his book so close that his nose got in the way. He couldn't see the board. Francine had to read Arthur the problems. "Are you blind?" she always asked. Francine got every problem right. Arthur didn't. No one wanted to play with Arthur.
Ooh, you are so great.
Arthur's father and mother took him to the optometrist. Dr. Iris tested Arthur's eyes. "You need glasses," said Dr. Iris. Arthur tried on all kinds of frames. He chose the ones he liked best. "You look very handsome in your new glasses," said his father. "Everything looks clearer," said Arthur. His mother told him he looked very smart. But the next morning, his friends laughed at him. Francine called him Four Eyes. "Sissy," shouted Buster. None of Arthur's friends wore glasses. No one in his family wore glasses either. Arthur felt awful. He didn't care if he could see. He didn't want to be called Four Eyes. Arthur decided he would lose his glasses. Arthur put his shirt in the laundry. In the front pocket were his glasses. His mother found them the next morning. "You have to be more careful, Arthur. You're lucky they weren't broken." That day at school, Arthur hid his glasses in his lunchbox. He told his teacher he forgot them. But now, things were harder to see than ever. When Arthur walked down the hall to the boys' room, he had to count the doors. He opened the door. Francine was talking. What was Francine doing in the boys' room? "Get out of here," screamed Francine. "This is the girls' room." Arthur couldn't find the door. Now all the girls were screaming out in the hall. Doors opened. Teachers ran out. The principal appeared. Everyone was looking at Arthur. Arthur turned red. He wanted to hide. The principal took Arthur to his office. Then Arthur's teacher talked to him. "Why don't you keep your glasses in a case in your pocket as I do?" he asked. "You wear glasses?" asked Arthur. "Yes, for reading," said his teacher. He took them out. They looked just like Arthur's, brown. Suddenly, Arthur felt better. He went to his lunchbox, and he put on his glasses. In gym, Arthur made 10 baskets. Francine made 4. That afternoon, Arthur didn't need Francine to read the problems on the board. He got everyone right. Arthur could see Francine's paper. She missed 2. After school, Francine asked Arthur to be on her team. I'll consider it, said Arthur. The next morning, Arthur was very surprised when he saw Francine. They're my movie star glasses, said Francine. But there isn't any glass in them, said Arthur. It doesn't matter. They help me concentrate and make me look beautiful, said Francine. That afternoon, a photographer took the class picture. Just a minute, said Arthur. He took out his glasses. He carefully polished them and put them on. Everyone ready, said the photographer. Wait, said Francine. She ran to get her purse. She took out her movie star glasses. Okay, I'm ready too, said Francine. Smile, said the photographer.
I wear glasses too. It certainly improved the view. Most of the time I wear contact lenses, but I like the way these look. What do you think? I got a complete eye checkup, including a test for color blindness. You ever have one? Let me show you. I got this from my eye doctor. Now, if you have normal vision, you see the number 5. But if you have red-green color blindness, you don't see a number at all. Not very serious. You just have to be extra sure that your socks match and double-check traffic lights when you cross the street. But there's another kind of color blindness, kind that has nothing to do with your eyes. It has to do with your mind, not with what you see, but how you see it. And it has to do with your heart, not with who you see, but how you see them. People come in all different sizes, shapes, and colors, and when you see through the skin on someone's face to the person underneath, then you're colorblind in the best possible way. That's what these poems are about.
I think the real color is behind the color. That skin on my face is for cold mornings and the cool breezes of some summer afternoons. Under that skin and under that face is the real face. I have all these parts stuffed in me, like Mama's chicken and biscuits and Daddy's apple pie and a tasty story from the family tree. But I know that tomorrow morning I'll wake up empty and hungry for that next bite of my new day. Imagine, I am standing with 1 foot in Africa, for my ancestors dragged away from their homes and lands and tribes to sail to America as slaves. 1 foot in Europe, for my ancestors living in their ghettos, in their Polish and German villages, until they sailed to America to find a new home and life. Imagine I'm standing with 1 foot in New York City for my first 8 years of riding the Central Park carousel, walking on Broadway, listening to the music of the streets. 1 foot in Ohio for my present time of summer corn and the smell of hogs after rain. This town has birds that bring the mornings to my room. 4 foot feet, enough to make me sit right down. The way I see any hope for later, we will have to get over this color thing and stop looking at how much brown or tan there is in or on this woman or that man, and stop looking at who is a woman and who is a man. Stop looking. Start loving.
I'll take this one. I've got a movie in here. Well, at least that's what it looks like. Watch. This is a flip book, and I made it myself by drawing a series of pictures that change just a little bit each time. Now, if you look at them quickly, you see the action of his arm instead of the individual pictures. That's how most animated movies or cartoon films are made, frame by frame. Anyone with a little time, patience, and a pencil can create one. Making a movie is one way of showing other people your own personal way of seeing and hearing the world. Now, here are some young filmmakers who are doing just that.
Close your eyes and listen to the music and see what picture you get in your head.
I saw a dancer, and I saw her dancing in a garden. And I saw her moving her legs and arms and spinning. She dances in her backyard, and her backyard's really a garden. And she has 5 flowers growing, and every day she leaps over them. I like to sing, and I like to dance to music, and I like ballet. That's why I made a ballerina in blue, because blue is one of my favorite colors.
We all listen to the music, but people have different feelings, and they do different things, and they're different. They're just, everybody's different. Some people like to eat, some people like birds. Or if you just learned a game called dominoes, which I just learned, you're probably gonna think about dominoes. And so that's how it turned out for me.
I see dominoes with hands, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and they're just dancing along, and they're jumping on each other, and they're having fun.
One advantage of working with a partner is if you're not sure of something, you can just consult your partner and see what he thinks about it.
Yeah, so if you have the slightest doubt about if something good or bad, you can just ask him, and then if they think it's bad, you get rid of it.
I see blocks going around, and then they're coming into shapes, and then it goes into 3 different parts, and it just keeps on circling and circling.
If you use your other senses, smell, taste, hearing, and touch, you don't always need your eyes to know what's going on around you. Sometimes you don't even need your eyes to read a book. Meet Rolly. He's small, round, and very curious, and he wants to explore the book he lives in. This book Rolly Goes Exploring can be read by blind or sighted children. If you can't read the words with your eyes, you can read them with your fingers. These little raised dots are a special language called Braille. Blind people use it to read and write. Each set of dots is a letter or number that you can learn to read with your fingers, just like you can learn to use your other senses to read. I'll show you what I mean. Reading a book with my fingers makes me realize how much I see the world all the time without using my eyes. You can't always tell how ripe a melon is just by looking at it. You can't tell if it's sweet and ready to eat unless you smell it, squeeze it, even listen to it. Lots of times you can hear what someone has to say by using your eyes instead of your ears. Watch, you'll see what I mean. You see what I mean? Aww. Mime is just one way to communicate without saying anything. And American Sign Language is another. If you enjoyed Arthur's eyes, here are some other books you might like, but you don't have to take my word for it.
H-E-L-L-O. Hello, my name is Erin Klimko, and that was American Sign Language. It's a way of communicating without words. And if you want to do more of that, you should read a book called A Show of Hands. It's a book about a boy who doesn't believe in sign language till he meets a girl who's deaf and then finds out he's been using it all along. He used things like shrugging his shoulders if he didn't know the answer, raising his hand if he did, waving to a friend across the street, or just twiddling his thumbs. I especially like the pictures in the book. There's even a sign language alphabet. You can learn the whole alphabet from reading this book, and even some words, too. I was kind of nervous about showing you this book, so I hope you really like it.
Hello, my name is Robin Martin. Do you have any grandparents who are blind and who can teach you things? This book is called Through Grandpa's Eyes. It's about John and his grandfather who is blind. Grandpa taught John how to tell when breakfast was ready. He used his ears and his nose. He smelled the bacon cooking, and he smelled the marigolds, which didn't smell so good. I learned a lot of things from this book, like using my nose and my ears and how special it is to learn from a blind person. This is a wonderful book, and I hope you read it someday.
Namaste, everybody.
And in India, we say that. It means hello. I'm Nilay Shah.
I'm Nirav Shah, and he is my twin brother. Even though we're twins, we don't always agree on things.
And we read this book called Is This a Baby Dinosaur? It's a science book.
It is also a nonfiction book.
My favorite part is the question that asks, look hard at anything you see. Is it what it seems to be? Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. You can really let your imagination fly.
But my favorite part is when they ask, could you hang these on your Christmas tree? And the answer is, no, they wouldn't last. They are dewdrops on a spider's web.
Nira, I think they should read the book because of the science.
But I think they should read the book because of the close-up pictures.
Well, you can think what you want to think, but judge for yourself.
Aujo!
Boy, this guy makes Jaws look like a tadpole.
Neat.
Writing this letter is a big deal. I hope I can afford the postage on it. Must be part of a big band. Hey there, big guy. Would it be too much to ask if I borrowed your gavel? Order in the court. Order in the court. Judging by the size of this, I'd be a big hit on the bench. Or tops in my art class. Am I having some sort of weird dream? Have my big ideas gotten the best of me? Or am I just in a toy store called KB in La Mesa, California? You know, if I were to judge myself just by what I see right now, I'd feel awfully small. It could make me feel pretty unimportant. Boy, that looks so tasty. Wow, thanks. I know I have a huge appetite, but this is ridiculous. I hope my eyes aren't bigger than my stomach. I'll take that banana, too. Sometimes even the real world can make me feel small.
Thank you.
Thank you. But you can't measure yourself by the people or things standing next to you. There's always going to be somebody bigger or smaller than you are. Thanks. The only way to really know how big and important you are is to look inside yourself. The things around you aren't nearly as important as how you see yourself. Some people say the best things come in small packages. Others say bigger is better. It all depends on how you look at it. See you next time. See you next time. See you next time. See you next time. Thank you.